Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Yes, hello everybody. There has been a few complaints about me not being loud enough, so I am really going to try to get very close to the microphone.
It sounds really nice when you do.
Does it?
I think you don't like it because it sounds so intimate in your ear, but it's much nicer when you do.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
Because it's like massaging someone's luggles.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like a soft tickle. And your voice is so nice.
It's quite good, isn't it? I did a few voiceovers back in the day. When I started on the telly box, I started getting requests to do voiceovers.
Did you?
Do you want to hear one of them?
Yes, go on.
Alex Higgins was the hurricane. Read the full story today. I did
really good.
The voice of Alex Higgins, the Hurricane Higgins.
I guess that.
I did his autobiography. It's the only one I can remember, but they made me do it 200 times. You know, it's just like in my brain.
The one that I did for about 5 years was...
Argos, was it?
Don't shop for it, Argos it.
They're gonna snatch that and reuse it for free. Just in case you do that, I will get my lawyer onto you.
Argos. It's funny when you become the voice of something.
Yeah.
I think Dermot's the lottery.
Is he the lottery? Rob Brydon's crunching up cornflakes.
Is he?
Yeah, and B&Q, yeah.
What, Dawn's quite a few things.
She was Churchill for a while.
She was, wasn't she?
Yeah. It's quite funny. Martin Clunes was the Churchill guy for a long time.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
He lost his driving license, so he couldn't use him anymore.
Is that why?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. I mean, you might want to research that. Someone might have made that up. But from what I remember, they said, oh, can't
use
him
anymore. It's classic, the stories we tell, like, that... You know,
that could be fake.
Completely untrue.
Yeah,
don't believe anything we say.
I always caveat that with you might want to research that and find out that I've made it up.
But it's a good story.
Every possibility.
Let's be honest.
We have been on holiday.
Yes.
Which was nice. It was nice to get away. You are so brown. You remind me of like hot dog sausages or...
Is that a compliment?
Yeah, I love hot dog sausages. Like you're made of Frankfurters, Frankfurter lady. You're very brown.
Do you know me, my dad, and my granny all the same? Just go
brown
straight away. But can I just say, I factor 50.
Yeah, yeah, I factor 50.
I
non-stop.
Factor 50 non-stop. My daughter, who is the palest, my middle child, who's the
so
palest
pale.
Of all of my children. I said to her, factor 50, and she was like, yeah. She factor 30'd, fried on the first day.
Yeah.
It's hard to sympathise with somebody when...
Yeah, but they've done it to themselves.
They've done it to themselves.
Yeah.
And it's not like she's 10, she's 18.
Yeah, exactly.
She's known this. But the other thing is that white skin had not been out in tropical sunshine for years. So it was a difficult one.
Yes.
And she basically spent the rest of the holiday inside.
Yeah. I just factor 50 everything all the time, every day, three times a day.
Yeah,
and they still go brown.
Yeah. And you've got to reapply,
Three times a day. I've drilled that into my kids.
And
as well.
I've started factor fiftering.
Fiftering.
Fiftering my face.
Yeah, of course.
But in the winter.
Oh,
like,
do you?
All the time.
I tend to go on sunbeds then, not where.
Oh my God. Sunbeds and, I was going to say, sunbeds and deep fat fryers.
Yeah.
We've got to talk about.
Zucchini fritti. Is it fritti?
Fritti.
Zucchini fritti.
Well, that's what they call it in the Ivy.
Okay. So in the Ivy, which we go to from time to time.
I mean, not like the Ivy. We're talking about the Ivy Cafe.
The chain restaurants.
The chain restaurants.
Not the one in Covent Garden.
Michael and I sometimes go there and we sit at the bar, which is nice, right?
It feels like you're in New York or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, we don't sit at the tables because we can never get a table.
No, even with your face.
Like, I go in, I go, hi, can we have a table? No. Like, what?
Even with your face and my name, we can't get a table.
It doesn't work.
It's outrageous.
What's happened to us?
We've
lost our spark.
Yeah, we've lost it. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But we can always get a table. Two seats at the bar.
We
sit at the bar. We love the bar.
Yeah.
We look at the barman. Chat to the barman. And we eat zucchini fritti, which is basically, It's like they call it kind of courgette fries.
Yes. But it's spiralized courgette, as far as I can tell.
It's the stuff, like, we basically bought spiralized courgette from Sainsbury's. Mm. They do it in a packet. So it's like, you know, when they do spaghetti courgette.
Yeah, yeah.
So I bought a bag of that, thinking that we would do it as a sort of spaghetti bolognese, but courgette bolognese. And you took that bag and did something amazing.
So I thought, I'm going to recreate zucchini fritti. So I had a quick look on the internet, as you do, and there was a recipe. You dip it in milk first.
Yes.
Then flour, chuck it in the deep fat fryer for 2 minutes.
I thought there was something fancy to it.
Nope. It's as simple as that. Well, there is. It's a fancy deep fat fryer.
You didn't put anything in the flour?
No.
But then you salted them afterwards.
And then I put a lot of crunchy salt on them, yes. And then you need a bit of dippy dip, like a garlic mayonnaise
and,
or something
like
that.
An aioli. Something like
now,
that.
You do have to be careful. You've got to be very quick with the dusting of the flour. If you put too much flour on, you get too much batter. And then you're basically just eating batter with a tiny bit of zucchini in there. So don't do that. It's milk, towel dry, like with paper towels, dust with flour, straight in the deep fat fryer, no mucking about.
How long in the deep fat fryer?
Minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes tops, 170 degrees.
But how bad for you do you think it is?
Well, it depends on how much batter you end up. So if you can get the lightest coating of batter, I don't think it's that bad. I mean, it's flour and milk, so that's all it is. What you've got, I guess, is a bit of oil in there from the deep fat fryer. But anyway, it was good.
Anyway,
right?
Listen.
Yeah, do it.
Do it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's a treat, but it feels like a chic treat.
Yeah. I mean,
it's very chic. It's not like deep fat frying a Mars bar.
No, it's not Scottish at all. It's European.
It's European.
Yeah. There's a very funny bit in Stuart Lee's latest video, whatever it's called. I can't remember what it is, but Content Provider, I think it's called, or something like that. He does a bit about the spiralizer, you know. And he's always berating his audience for not being smart enough, not as smart as him, you know. Mm. So there's this sense of arrogance about it the whole time. And he's talking about the people who bought tickets, obviously, down at the front, which have got all the money, that really like Stuart Lee and understand how sophisticated his humour is and all that. And then there's people further back that are friends of friends that have come along, you know. But he says, we're here at Southend. You know, I know you lot and your spiralizers, you know, and then everyone's laughing and he says, the people back there, they're going, what's a spiralizer? He said, people at the top are going, what's a courgette? You know, but he delivers it so brilliantly. But if you're interested, go and have a look at that on YouTube's Stuart Lee, the spiralizer courgette.
We've talked about Stuart Lee a lot, but he's on tour at the moment.
And we're going to see him on the 12th of May, I think. We've got tickets to go and see him.
But that's a hot ticket.
Oh, it'll be a hot ticket. If you want to go and see the greatest bit of stand-up comedy you'll ever see, then just go and get tickets for Stuart Lee.
And there's nothing, you know, there are a lot of comedians out at the moment who are quite controversial and quite make you want to cross your legs. But he's just clever. He's quite an easy watch.
Yes, brilliant delivery as
smart,
well.
Smart very, guy, very, yeah. Very funny. His face, his face just makes me laugh. When he doesn't even need to say anything, he can just look and I just start laughing.
Yes.
And obviously he's also married to an incredibly brilliant comedian.
Mm.
Are they married or are they just
together?
I think
they are married because he talks about his wedding, Bridget Christie, I think she's
Yes,
called,
Bridget
she?
Christie. And she does some very funny comedy about the menopause.
Oh, does she?
She's worth a look.
Is she on your new documentary?
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
Sadly, I was going to interview her.
Yes, that's
right. But I was going to interview her and then my dad died that day. I was with my dad.
She's still in the dock?
She's still in the dock,
Okay, great.
She's brilliant.
Okay, should we crack on with a few recommendations?
So we've watched a lot of telly because...
Well, we were on our holidays and we were on flights and all sorts of things, so we got to watch quite a few bits and pieces. What do you want to start with?
I really have to talk about this piece of television that... I came across, by mistake, I'd seen it advertised a bit on Netflix, and I'd seen a sort of flash of Toni Collette.
Mm-hmm.
I've loved Toni Collette a lot.
Mm.
She is quite a fearless actor, I think,
who
has always been more about the role rather than how attractive she looks. And I love that in an actor. You get kind of real meat from a female actor as she gets older, and she's got all that experience under her belt.
You want to see it in her face,
You want to see it in her face, and she... She's got an amazing resting bitch face, Toni Collette, in this film. She just constantly looks pissed off and sort of... She's got this lovely daughter in it. The first episode is mind-blowing, and I really love a TV programme that gets you sucked in, not just at the end of the first episode, mm-hmm. and we can talk about something we watched last night,
yes,
which
I do
was incredibly boring mm. first episode, but then sucked us in at the end. Mm-hmm. This episode gets you from the get-go. And there's a bit, there's a scene, maybe 15 minutes in, where you are just like, what the actual
oh,
fuck?
Oh, really? Really?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It blew mm-hmm. my mind. I was like, what is going on? And you are right, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Do not watch a trailer.
No, no.
And that is why I'm not yeah. going to go on about it too much.
Okay, yeah, yeah, okay, good.
But it's called Pieces of Her. It's ridiculously got a 6.3 on IMDb.
Wow.
And this is, I binge watched this series.
Have you watched it all?
I've watched all of it.
I wondered what you were doing.
I was so into it mm-hmm. and obsessed with it. And it's got all, everything you want. It's got twisty turnies. It's got amazing protagonists, it's got fantastic drama, it's got fantastic realism, and there are moments in it, I don't know, I know I was with Chester, I think, where I was literally like,
Jesus Christ.
Like that. Like,
yes.
Jump yeah. out of my seat. So Toni Collette is in it, and I didn't know any of the other actors, so I'm just okay. going to let you...
And is it Australian?
No, it's American.
American, okay.
It's American. It's very good quality acting. The script's fantastic. It's an edge of your seat thriller. I really, really enjoyed it. And in fact, I am going to rate it right now a 9.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, I really loved it. There is nothing I love more than being so engrossed in a drama where you just want to binge watch it. Mm-hmm. That's a kind of, you know,
yes,
that's a good thing when you're obsessed with getting in there.
I was just having a look what else Toni Collette's been in, but it said The Sixth Sense there.
She did that very funny Australian... What was that first ever thing that she was really famous for?
God, she did do The Sixth Sense, yeah.
What's that? Muriel's Wedding.
Muriel's Wedding. So the first thing I saw her in was About a Boy.
Oh, yeah, she yeah. was so good in that, as the kind of hippie...
Yes. Well, there's a brilliant bit in that where she... tries to kill herself.
Mm.
It's actually a really tragic
painful,
story.
Very
yes.
painful.
The suicide note is a song by a badly drawn boy that's performed in the song. So when the boy finds the suicide note, you can hear the words of it through the badly drawn boy song. If anyone wants to listen to that song, it's one of my favourite songs of all time. It's called A Minor Incident. If you just stick that into the old iTunes and have a little look, it's brilliant. But she's so good in that. And her and Hugh Grant together are fantastic.
They're so good, aren't they?
There's a great bit where she confronts him in a restaurant where he's dating a girl. And she says, why are you hanging out with my boy, you know, my teenage boy? And Hugh Grant's like, I can't get rid of him. You know, he keeps coming round and turning up at my door, you know. But there's a brilliant bit. She says, what do you know about a teenage boy? And he says, well, I used to be one. You know, like, I know quite a lot about being one, you know. It's just a brilliant dynamic between men and women and adults and children. So if you're stuck for something to watch, About a Boy, if you've not seen it or read the book, wow. And the soundtrack is fantastic.
But she's actually done some very interesting films.
Yes, there was one...
Knives Out.
Yeah, God, Knives Out
was
really,
really good film.
Yes. And then she did this one called Hereditary, which was a horror film.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously I can't watch horror films,
no,
as you know.
But it's slightly creepy and a bit weird, this horror film, Hereditary. If you like horror films, it's worth a watch. But I will just caveat it with, at the end, it was all really tense in the cinema, and then something happened and somebody started to laugh in the cinema, and then the whole cinema laughed. And then it just instantly wasn't a horror anymore, and nobody could stop laughing. Everything that was supposed to be scary became funny, and everybody left.
That's quite a weird
energy. It was such a weird thing to happen, because that was it then. We all just couldn't stop giggling at the whole thing, and it had lost all its power and all its drama and everything. But
I can't do horrors.
Yes, but you're saying this is quite horrific. This has made you jump.
Yeah, it made me jump. But the thing for me is that I believe everything I see in a movie is true.
Oh, okay. Not that it's made up.
No. Okay. It's all real,
it's all
and
real.
It's all really happening.
Somebody's in your house with a knife and a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And that when I stop watching the film, it still frightens me.
Okay.
Whereas other people that watch horrors just either are sort of...
Yeah, they can let it go, can't they?
Detached from it in some way. I am not detached. I'm in it.
I've not seen that, but I'm very keen to see it. What's it called? Pieces of Her?
Yeah, the first episode is fantastic.
Okay. Let's do a quick documentary that I watched on the aeroplane.
Yes.
Lots of people have recommended this to us since we talked about Touching the Void and Free Solo and all that. And everyone said, you've got to watch The Alpinist. I assume it's The Alpinist and not The Alpinist.
I don't know.
No, I don't know either, but you get the general gist. Put it into IMDb and have a look. It scores an impressive 8 on IMDb.
Wow.
And it is 1 hour 32. That ticks all the boxes for yes. me as well, you know. So it's about a young lad who is considered the greatest free climber ever. Now, we've seen documentaries about young
lads. All the
lads.
Other greatest yeah. free climbers
yes.
ever.
Who, they climbed this particular thing, and it's like, what about the other particular thing that was supposed to be the most horrific? So it's a really good documentary, but it's not, I don't necessarily feel like it's about climbing. It's more about a young boy trying to kind of work out who he is and what he is. And anyone's raising kids out there, which I'm sure a lot of you are. It's quite funny. Some of your kids are a mystery to you, aren't they? You know, you think, oh, I know my child. And then they do something and you think, oh, God, I don't know them at all. This boy really reminded me of one of my kids. So I really loved it. But it goes back to when he's a child at school and just how he loved being at nursery school and primary school and all the rest of it. But as soon as he was confined to a desk, he absolutely hated it. So he loved interacting with other kids and building stuff and drawing and writing and colouring in. But as soon as there were all the order and structure
exams
came to it, he just fell apart, really. So he begged his mum if he could be homeschooled, and she agreed. So she'd homeschool him in the morning, in the afternoon they'd go out rummaging through the forest and learn other things, you know, about being out in the great outdoors. And then it seems that he slightly fell off the rails a little bit. Do you know what? It doesn't feel like there is. Dad doesn't seem to be part of it.
So, but she must have money or something, because
you know what?
If she's not working.
I can't remember.
I always think like homeschooling somebody is a full-time, well, it's a teacher's job, right?
So someone will no doubt write in and tell us. The dad does feature in it, but I can't remember the context of it and why he doesn't feature in it heavily. Anyway, so it's just really good. And he eventually finds his feet, and he finds his feet in the mountains, but he cares about nothing but the mountains and climbing and finding this amazing peace and tranquility in the whole thing. But I absolutely loved it, and it made me think about my role as a father to one of my kids in a way that I hadn't really thought about it before. And that's what I love about, I guess what I love about any of these programs, whether it's a fiction or a bit of art or a bit of a movie or a documentary or whatever, is they help you kind of explore your own mind around things. But this did a really big job on me. And
did you watch it on the plane, did
you
say? I think also watching anything on a plane has heightened emotion added to it. It makes you can't get up, you can't walk around, you can't go anywhere. You're engrossed, and there's something about altitude, I think, that makes you more emotional. I always cry my eyes out of films on planes.
Yeah, so it really did tear me up. But in a really good way, I absolutely loved it. For those of you that have seen it and recommended it to us, thank you very much indeed, because that was one of the reasons I watched it. And the other thing is, if you've not seen it, I think it's on Netflix. And if not, it'll be on Amazon Prime. You can buy it. But I loved it. It's a brilliant way to spend an hour and a half. And yeah, really, really did things to me. It was bloody brilliant.
Bloody brilliant. I want to talk about, well, I don't know which one to do first, but I think I'm going to do Mentor House first, which is a Instagram account. I've got so many things that I've written down. I'm just trying to find...
Me too. Taking 2 weeks off.
I know, it's hopeless.
It just gave us an enormous amount of stuff.
The Mentor House.
Is this on Instagram?
And Jamie Freestyle started it. It's on Instagram. It's got 800,000 followers.
Whoa.
And what I like about it, sometimes these self-help pages are just one person giving their take on self-help. But what I like about this is that it's people from all walks of life, all types of different people. He's taken little clips. So there's Muhammad Ali, Jim Carrey, Cristiano Ronaldo, The Rock, Jordan Peterson, you know, so many different, Oprah Winfrey. I posted one on my site the other day of a woman saying, "There's no one coming." Did you see that one?
No.
I'm just going to play it quickly. Okay. Hold on.
No one's coming to push you. No one's coming to tell you to turn the TV off. No one's coming to tell you to get out the door and exercise. Nobody's coming to write the business plan for you. It's up to you. It's your job to make yourself do the crap you don't want to do so you can be everything that you're supposed to be. And you're so damn busy waiting to feel like it. And you're never going to. You're always going to need to push yourself. You're always going to need to parent yourself.
I love that brilliant. So much.
So, who is she? Because I stumbled across her.
I've got no idea who she is. Let me see if it's written down in the blurb. Mel Robbins.
Mel Robbins, okay.
In fact, I'm going to follow her. Yeah. She's got 2 million followers.
Wow.
A New York Times best-selling author. I'll look into her a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And see if we can talk about her another time.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Okay.
What I love about it is that you on the Mentor House will find loads of people that will inspire you. It's not just one person giving their kind of rhetoric. It's lots of different flavours. Mm. And everybody's got a slightly different style and a different pace. But I get... You know, downstairs we've got that neon sign of what has always been previously our me and my kids' family motto, which is give more than is expected.
Yeah.
And yesterday we had some friends down and they said, well, what's that? And I said, it's our family motto. And they said, oh, we've got family mottos. And they said, they're really important to us. And I was like, oh, good, because our family mottos are really important to us. That they're the little things that kids hear and they sink in and they remember those things and they take the mickey out of me for kind of going, give more than is expected.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, give more than... But they will sometimes be in a restaurant and go, oh, they gave more than was expected.
Yeah. So they can see it.
So they can see it when it happens and they go, oh, that's what it looks like. Mm. Oh, I'm going to go the extra mile.
Yeah.
You know, and I always think... You will never be forgotten if you give more than is expected.
Yes.
You'll make someone's day, or you'll give, you know, that extra smile or that extra helping hand, or, you know, I don't know, if you go round to your boyfriend's house when you're young, when you're a teenager and you stack the dishwasher and, you know, that extra mile makes a big impact. Anyway, I love this page. It comes up on my feed all the time. I always watch everything and I always get something from it. And it inspires me a lot.
That's following that, yes.
It's really, really good.
I mean, yeah, it's great to find a place that's got a good cross-section of stuff as well, isn't it, rather than just one account. I found an Instagram account that I love. I was just looking up there because on mottos, I remember both my kids went to Scouts and there was a Scout promise that you used to say at the beginning and I absolutely loved it. And I
Go
used
on,
to think,
tell me.
Well, I'm trying to find it really now. I'm just going to look. So there's the beaver, the scout promise for scouts and explorers. This was it. So there's different for Buddhist, Christian and all the rest of it. On my honour, I promise that I will do my best. I think was the thing.
To do me duty to God.
God
oh,
and the
that's
Queen,
so interesting.
To help other people and to keep the scout law.
Do you know what? That's the same as the Brownie Guide law.
Yes, I know.
I promise that I will do my best to do my duty to God, serve the Queen and help other people and keep the Brownie Guide law.
Yes.
So funny.
But I just love that I promise that I will do my best. Like, that is giving more than it is expected, I suppose. Giving the best you could give or the most you can give. And when I used to watch these little boys go up and do their scout promise, I just think it's so important, this little scout promise, because it actually embodies...
When I
just
said
good
it
nature.
When I was little, I never thought about what I was saying.
Yes, I guess that's so the worry. As you get older, you realise the words really mean something. But as you're young, they're just words, I suppose, aren't they? It's a great bit in Peep Show where Mark says to Jeremy, they're just words to you, aren't they, Jeremy? They don't mean anything. Mm. And he says, and Jeremy says, yeah, just say the words, worry about what they mean later. And it's just really things you get older, you think, oh yeah, they're important, aren't they, them words? I've got an Instagram account called dadbod_Steve.
Oh, you love this guy.
I love this guy. So he's an American guy, fitness trainer, and he says, I help busy men lose their dad bods permanently. And he's a very kind of cute looking guy, and he just has a very nice turn of phrase. So what's this? Reduce anxiety and be happy. Intermittent fasting, midlife.
Intermittent fasting, mistake number 43. You're not eating enough, dude. Put some food on your plate. If you're restricting your meals to an 8-hour window, that deficit often comes naturally. Or you may as well starve yourself, like when you lost 10 pounds in a week for spring break, bro. Put some food in your belly. Eat a few big meals within an 8-hour window and follow me to lose your dad bod.
So there's just not lots of nice little tips like that, but he's got a very kind of nice turn of phrase about
him. Can I just say something?
Yeah.
He has got a very good body.
It's outrageous.
There aren't many people who I think have got as good a body as that. That is just not too muscly.
Yeah.
Not like he is lean and just nicely muscly.
How to fast if you work out super early, or how to not gain fat on cheat days.
How do you not gain fat on your cheat days? This is one I'm going to get hate for. Trolls, get ready. I already see the comments. Don't worry, I'm not going to say don't have cheat days. This is how you eat whatever food you want, not gain fat with just a little bit of work. First, you got to figure out your TDEE, total daily energy expenditure. You can Google a calculator for that. That's going to help you figure out your daily maintenance calories. Next, eat whatever food you want, but you got to log it into a food tracking app like MyFitnessPal. Food is going to take a little bit of work, but as long as you stay in your maintenance calories, you're not going to gain fat. Do not do this every day because the quality of your calories matters. And follow me if you're sick of having a dad bod.
I just love that. Every time I work out, I go, I'm sick of having a dad bod. Boom. I really like Steve.
Do you know what?
I don't know who
you
really
are.
It's really
funny.
Where you're, from.
Yeah. You're right. He's got a really sweet face.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah. I just think, oh, like I want to be like Steve from the dad bod.
Yeah. No, I love him.
Yeah. So he's only got 72,000 followers. So. But weirdly, a friend of mine follows him, Luke Benson. That's interesting. But yeah, they're just like little nuggets each day, and I watch them and I think, oh, great. You know, but I've learned quite a lot about food.
A woman would learn a lot from that as well, because all the same principles apply to a woman, actually, to anybody. If you want to be lean and build muscle, it's exactly the same thing. It's just the amount of calories is lower.
Yeah. And then there's just nice little tips. He did this one the other day. He says, look at the palms of your hands. And he says, that's how much protein you should eat with every meal. If you want to gain muscle,
the palms, not
palms,
your
not
hands.
Your hands, but yeah. You know these two bits here. So two or three chicken thighs, you know, or you know, probably
is
one
enough.
Breast or whatever, you know. But I thought, oh, that's a good way to look at it, you know.
Yeah.
Have I got that protein on my plate, or even if it was scrambled eggs or whatever, you know? So anyway, I really, really liked him.
I've got an amazing, amazing, amazing Instagram account that I think you are going to absolutely love.
Great.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
Like really funny and right up your street. Yep. Okay, so this account is called What Willy Cook. And he has got 205,000 followers, which is a lot, right? He is hilarious. So I have had a look. He does a lot on, look what he calls it.
The YouTubes.
He
That's
calls
what it's
it
called.
YouTubes.
Yeah, great.
I love that.
Is he English?
Yes, he is. Whatwilly.com. So non-stress recipes, bits and stuff, meet the team, What Willy Wonder, shop, contact. He is so funny. He's into food. He cooks stuff and he films it for his YouTube channel.
Right.
But it's things like crispy prawn tacos with... Hang on, I'm going to...
The fact of the matter is we need a batter. Fleur, chili dust, garlic dust, pepper noir and smoky pap gets whisked together and we use half to coat the prawns.
Nice, I love prawns.
Then mix in Les prawns and set aside. I came, I saw, I made a slaw with red cabbage sliced as thin as something exceptionally thin, loads of lime juice, sea-flavoured salt and a dollop of soured crepe. Mix and admire its vibrant purple hue. This spicy mayo is mayo, sriracha and fiery hot bica. Get the prawns dredged in the remaining flavour flours and fry until crisp. This won't take long. You don't want tough prawns. Hotten your
They're
tacos,
clapped.
Please. Then it's loading time.
What does that mean?
Cabbage sauce.
Clapped
then
is
your
disgusting.
Prawns are crisp.
Okay.
Spicy mayo, thanks. And some coriander and radish discum. Finish with a lime dribble and admire something far prettier than the
Mona
Lisa.
That looks good.
I've really got hype around her, to be honest. I think she's pretty
Did you hear that?
And frankly,
far prettier than the Mona Lisa. He said, I don't really get the hype around her. She's... But it's his recipes are hilarious, but they are also so up your street, Michael. So he does things like the glazed pork belly.
Oh, wow. There's chili
in
there as well.
In a sandwich, chili.
Okay, I need to follow this guy.
But can I just tell you the best thing ever?
Oh, yeah, you can.
So I sent him a message and I was like, please, because I keep watching these recipes, they make me howl. His voiceovers are so funny. Little bit of background on him. He was the Children's MasterChef runner-up in 1997.
Oh, wow. God.
So he was a kid.
Yeah, yes.
And he was running, and he's kept cooking.
That would have been
and
Lloyd
now,
Grossman back then.
Now he's got 205,000 followers.
Mm.
He does podcasts, he does his YouTubes, and he's very funny, but he's passionate about food, but he doesn't look like he should be passionate. He's just like an extremely interesting, hilarious-looking guy.
Great.
He's very funny. He does all the voiceovers for it himself. It's engaging for kids. Chester, Holly, Tilly all absolutely love him.
Okay.
And so I sent him a message and I said, you know, you are absolutely hilarious, thinking he's got 200,000 followers, he's never going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Sent me a message back going, can you come, do you want to come on my YouTube?
Yeah, of
course. And I'm
going to
cook
yes.
you a meal.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Great.
So we've got to go together.
Oh, well, we've got us making the cook.
Yes.
And he can, we can
yes.
yeah, cook for us.
Yes, and we that can podcast great. From there.
Let's do that.
Oh,
where
my
has
God.
He lived, you know? We haven't got Scotland or anything, do we?
I don't think so, no. Okay. I think he, I don't know where he lives, and that might be weird if I say it out loud, but follow him. What will he cook? Amazing recipe ideas. Very, very funny, but the food is off the charts.
Oh, yeah. I always just think about what can I put in the deep fat fryer, and I've just realised I can put prawns in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make, like, prawn tempura.
Sausage and fennel lasagna.
Mm.
You know.
At Wagamama's, they do this thing called ebi katsu, which is prawns in panko breadcrumbs.
Oh, yeah,
and
you love that.
And then in hot sauce. And it's just dawned on me that I can make them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't like prawns, though, do you?
I don't mind neutral prawns.
Neutral.
Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yes, that don't taste of anything.
No, but that's true. You know, like the kind of the tiny weenie prawns get in a
Mary Rose
sauce.
Yeah, yeah. The taste of Mary Rose sauce, essentially.
That just taste of Mary Rose sauce.
Yeah.
And that have got a kind of nice texture to them. I've been sick, very, very sick from a prawny prawn.
Mm.
And the smell of a prawny prawn makes me want to retch.
When we were kids.
But I can do a neutral prawn.
When my mum would come home from work, she'd take them out of the freezer, prawns,
and
put them on a plate on
exactly.
the side. And me and Steve would just grab a handful of frozen ones.
Yeah,
and,
perfect.
And eat them frozen.
The little tiny,
really
pinky white ones.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then we'd suck them until they defrosted in our mouths and then eat it. But
amazing.
I just assumed now I'm older that that's probably like a bacteria-inducing thing to do.
I don't think so.
You don't reckon?
No, I think that's okay.
I
think because they're probably frozen from fresh.
Yes, you're probably right. Well, they're cooked and then frozen.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, okay.
Fine.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
So Andy sent me, Andy Abrahams, our good friend, sent me a game. Now, everyone's familiar with Wordle.
Yeah, we've talked about Framed.
We've talked about Framed?
Yeah, where we do a movie.
Really?
Yeah, the last podcast, I thought.
Okay, well, he sent us someone.
I showed it to you. Do you remember?
Did you?
Yeah, and I said, what's this movie? And you said, oh, that's really hard.
Okay, so he sent us some more Wordle-based games today on the Instagrams.
Framed is very hard.
It is quite hard, isn't it, Framed? Yeah, so here it is on Magical. There's one called Hurdle.
What's that?
Which is the daily musical intros game. So it's one about music.
I would be really good at that.
Should we see if you're any good at
yeah.
it? Should we see what is it? So listen to the intro, then find the correct artist and title in the list. Okay, you ready?
Yep. Eurythmics. But there's a list, right?
I think so, yeah. Know it, search for the artist. How do you spell
Broken
Eurythmics?
Broken on glass.
Yes. Eurythmics.
Do you want me to help?
Yeah, it's Eurythmics there.
Walking on.
Yeah, it must be called Broken Glass,
or
right?
Is it Broken Glass or what was it?
There must be an angel playing with
no,
my heart.
No, definitely not that.
Eurythmics. What kind of a name's that? Eurythmics. So there's only two to choose from. There must be an angel playing with my heart. It's not Sweet Dreams, is it?
No, but it's not There Must Be an Angel either.
I think it is.
Okay.
Submit. That's wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it just called... Why isn't it giving me the answer? Anyway, this
Annie
is
Lennox.
Called Walking on Broken Glass. Well done, you.
Thank you.
You are the champ. Yes. An act of genius. We got it in two. That's good, isn't it? So that's called hurdle.app. So if you go on there, they've probably got a daily. Next hurdle is in 12 hours and 37 minutes.
Isn't it funny how this one guy came up with a game for his girlfriend and now everybody is copying it?
Yeah, and there's one called Quirdle.
This is what happens with TV programmes.
Yeah.
Go on, tell me about Quirdle.
Quirdle is... Let me have a look.
Quotes.
Oh, my God, so there's four to do. There's four Wordles to do.
Yeah.
And then I think they're all linked in some way. So go and have a look at Quirdle.com as well. But I really love Wordle.
What is Quirdle, though? What's it about?
Yeah, well, let me have a little look.
I'm getting quite good at Wordle.
Put your skills to the test and solve four Wordless. I mean, it just says that. But there's no information on it.
Okay, I don't want to play that.
Yeah.
It's not as good as Wordle. No. Wordle is the best.
Guess all four Quirdle words in 9 tries. Crown, badge, comfy. Yeah, so it's just four Wordles together by the looks of things.
Right,
but you can have a little look at that. Quirdle.com. Thanks very much indeed, Andy Abrahams.
Thank you, Andy.
And the film one is called Framed, which I do really enjoy that one.
We love you, Andy.
Yeah. Andy has bought me tickets for my birthday to go and see To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
Which is a new Aaron Arkin. No, it's not. It's Aaron Sorkin.
Alan Arkin.
Is the old Jewish actor.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So Aaron Sorkin is the writer of things like The West Wing, The Social Network.
Yes.
Trial of the Chicago 7. He's a very brilliant writer, and he's written a new adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird, which Andy's bought me tickets for my birthday on the 13th of May to go and see it.
Yes.
In London. But before we go and see it in London, he's bought me the book to read. I've never read To Kill a Mockingbird. I've seen my kids read it, and I've seen people do it at GCSE, obviously.
And that's annoying because they have to do it.
Yes, they seemed a bit frustrated by the fact they were forced to read a book. Anyway, I'm not forced to read it. Well, I kind of am, because Andy bought it for me and he's taken me to the play. So we've decided we'll read the book, watch the movie, then go and see the play. So we're fully immersed in the story.
How much of the book have you read?
I'd say a third of it.
Oh, well done.
Yes, and I'm really enjoying it. Mm. So, you know, it was just a little recommendation for find a classic and give it a read. And if you've not read To Kill a Mockingbird,
It is a must.
It's bloody
brilliant.
I mean,
I read it a very long time ago.
Yeah,
but
I'm really gripped by it.
It's a classic.
I'm going to write it in an attic.
Thank you.
Yeah, you like that?
Love it.
Two things that we should... No, one thing that both of us could just briefly mention.
Yep.
The Savile documentary on Netflix.
Oh, God. I found it... I think we should... I don't do this very often, and I don't really believe in them, but I would highly recommend a trigger warning for this TV program, because anybody that has experienced any kind of abuse and is still suffering some kind of trauma from it or hasn't processed it properly, do not watch.
Yes.
Do not watch this.
Do not watch it. Yeah.
It is harrowing.
It's creepy, isn't it?
I mean, what is really... Even talking about it makes me feel sick.
Does it?
Okay. Because I wrote into bloody Jim Will Fix It a lot. Mm. I met Gary Glitter and he gave me an autograph.
Right.
Like.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just makes me feel sick.
Yeah.
In the second episode, when you see Gary Glitter and Jimmy
and
Savile
together,
clearly laughing in a private joke about the fact that they abuse people is fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you know what?
Yeah.
For the victims, if you can watch it, we owe it to the victims to watch it and see what a horrific person he is and eradicate any kind of sympathy or any kind of jokey kind of now then. It's not fucking funny. Like, it makes me so angry.
Mm.
He is Satan. And the idea, which is the thing that upsets me the most of all, is that he fucking got away with it.
Mm.
He died still believing that we did all love him. I mean, it slightly was tainted by that point. But
yeah. It's a very peculiar watch. It's fascinating archive footage they've got as well that is that's been brilliantly spliced together with great voiceovers and stuff like that. It's a really well-made thing, but, oh, it's creepy. It's and very kind of interesting analysis of television as well, of the past, that it's very hard to see why Jimmy Savile was on TV at all.
At all.
But TV has this very peculiar thing of...
It was his charity work. It was the fact that from the get-go, he did such amazing deeds that people thought, he's a bit weird, but he does this amazing charity work. And it just got bigger and bigger, his charity work. And he did all of that running and trying to help people. And you think, wow, bit odd, but like, let's put that past him. Because look, he's helping kids. He's helping, you know, Stoke Mandeville. He's raising so much charity for everybody. He's being a porter in a hospital for nothing. And he did it way before he was famous. You think, wow, this guy's a fucking saint.
Very weird. The one of the weird things in it that you'll find if you watch
it. Sorry, I'm swearing a lot.
No, that's all right.
It makes me quite angry. Sorry.
Is the correspondence with the royal family. It's so peculiar. They're asking his advice.
Well, because he was so good at PR.
Yeah.
PRing himself, and they wanted to know how they could look better.
It's just a very, very strange thing when you read the letters that Prince Charles had written to him.
But they felt that he was also a saint.
Yeah.
From all of the good things that he did. But we all were sucked in.
It's a two-parter, so it's not super lengthy, but I think they're both about an hour and a half each. I'm still not entirely sure how Jimmy Savile died. They never seem to cover how he died. They just say he died at home. I think, of what? But maybe I just missed that bit.
Can I quickly say one other thing? I don't know if I've spoken about this. I don't think I have. If you are sick of bad news, follow Tanks Good News, T-A-N-K-S Good News on Instagram. 2.8 million followers. And all it posts is great things that are happening all around the world.
Oh, wow,
and
really?
It is so uplifting. And we all need that. Tanks, good news. Go follow.
One other thing on the old Netflixes, which some people have recommended to me, which I just happened to watch, was The Hunt for the Crypto King. It's one of these kind of documentary drama things. It's not a drama, but it's some reconstruction stuff in there as well. But it's really good if you're interested in, I guess, knowing a little bit more about cryptocurrencies and things like that. It's a guy who sets up a Bitcoin exchange, a bit like Binance or Coinbase or whatever. But it wasn't quite what everybody thought it was. It's really interesting and great.
How many apps?
I think there's four. I'm just trying to find it in here. Hunt. Trust No One. The Hunt for the Crypto King. I think it's just a one-off documentary for an hour and a half. But I watched it. I watched it in fits and starts. So it says an impossibly bizarre story of greed and deception amid the high-stake world of cryptocurrency. Unfortunately, for the victims, it's all true. It's
God. Good. Okay.
It's got some really
good
twists.
Should I watch it? Will I enjoy it?
Yes, totally. Totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's just a good example of nothing's quite what it seems, you know. So that's another thing to watch as well.
I just quickly want to say something that I've just read on Tank's Good News. The last post that they posted, it's just a sign that's stuck to a bus stop and it reads, apology. To the four young people I met here Wednesday the 13th of April, 8 p.m. I'm sorry for shouting at you and I hope you got home okay after missing your bus. And it says underneath, sometimes people are just having a rough day and they don't need to be filmed, posted on the internet, doxed, fired from their job and cancelled into oblivion. Let's get back to letting people be imperfect.
Ah, that's great.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, yeah, it's very good. Yeah, crikey. Everything is so high stakes these days, isn't it?
Shout-outs.
A few shout-outs because it's been a while. It's nice
to be back,
isn't it?
It's been a long time.
Nice to be back?
Yeah, it's very nice to be back.
I've been thinking about the podcast a lot while we've been away. So let's have a little look. Let's start with Emma Cuthbert.
I know Emma.
Do you? She has responded to something. Say, so many of you are now recommending The View, the new series of The Split on iPlayer.
I didn't even watch the original series.
No, but Emma says she's on episode 4 right now and it is really good.
Oh, good, okay.
Oh, my God, I quite like the look of that.
The Split. I'm going to write that down.
It says, hi, Michael and Davina. Really enjoying the podcast, as always. I just wanted to recommend a comedy From the 90s, called 2.4 Children. Yeah, of course, I'm familiar with 2.4 Children. All episodes are currently streaming on the BBC iPlayer, and it's the story of the Porter family. Stars Belinda Lang, Gary Olsen, Claire Buckfield and John Pickard. I used to love watching this sitcom as a kid back in the day, and it would pull in up to 14 million viewers. It's been a bit forgotten about over the years, but it's still as funny now as it was then and brings back lots of memories from the 90s. Give it a try. So 2.4 Children. We watched a couple of episodes of Everybody Loves Raymond the other day, didn't we?
Oh, God, it's so good.
That's another great 90s sitcom. It is superb. Thanks very much indeed, Emma. And you are also recommending The Split, it would seem. So Eileen... I want to call her Cauliflower, and that is her name, which is a relief. Eileen Cauliflower. This is an amazing show with Saran Jones.
Oh, yes.
So what's it called? Dress Code. Is it called that?
No.
Oh, Top Hat and Tails. Okay. This is an amazing show. It is the true life story of Ann Lister, as portrayed by the brilliant Saran Jones, which you obviously get compared to from time to time.
A lot.
We went to the opera one night. She was sat in front of us, and I can... say that you do look very similar.
Very similar. Yeah. Even we think we look similar, yeah. Which is
one of you
weird.
Is more attractive than the other. So just wanted to point that out.
I hope that's to me, to you, me.
She was a female landowner, coal miner, an all-round famous lesbian in the 1800s.
This is a true story.
Yeah, there's a true life adventure. It takes place in Halifax. Give it a go. Maybe give it a mention. Apparently, season one has already changed lives and giving a lot of people courage to come out as they live their life as they truly are. That's brilliant, Eileen Cauliflower. So good. I can't. So what's it called? The Story of Ann Lister, maybe? It doesn't seem to say anywhere.
Let me say it. Have a look at the iPlayer now quickly.
Yeah. Or it's called Dress Code. So Wendy Milson. Insta recommendation, guys, although you may be aware of it, Everyday Stoic. Hope you are having a lovely break and that Michael has sorted his phone problems out for Easter. Yes. Everyday Stoic.
Gentleman Jack.
It's called Gentleman Jack.
Yeah.
On the iPlayer.
Okay. Anne Walker is shocked to learn details of Ann Lister's complicated
I really want to watch that. I might do an episode of that later.
Yeah.
Wendy Milsom also recommends The Adam Project, which I'm yet to talk about, which
yes.
you need to, because it's yes. really good. This yes. is the Ryan Reynolds thing that's on Netflix. 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb. Rubbish. It should be at least 7.4.
It's interesting how quite a few things at the moment aren't getting the ratings that I feel like they deserve.
These people's expectations have changed.
Yeah.
But Wendy Milsom's recommending The Everyday Stoic. We love these Stoic things.
Love.
The Daily Stoic, the Ryan
so good.
Holiday book's brilliant. And then somebody says, Wendy also says, has Michael sorted out his phone? So I took my phone swimming with me in the sea because Apple had said it's water resistant
they
for
did.
6 meters for 30 minutes. Well, I did about 6 inches for 10, well, for 3 minutes, and then it was gone. It has actually weirdly sprung back to life, but it's taken a week to come back to life. Don't take your phone in the water. No matter what Apple says, I was really screwed over for a week.
Yes.
And
but let's just discuss the liberation you also felt.
My God, it was great. Once I'd come to terms with the fact that it had gone. And
I didn't like it.
Anything. You didn't like what?
Even though we were on holiday together and you were right next to me, I didn't like not being able to kind of text you or contact
yeah.
you or send you something.
It was weird, wasn't it? Yeah, it's amazing.
And when you were out of my sight, I was like, how do I get hold of you?
Yeah,
and
it was
just
weird because I used to think, shall I wait here for her or shall I meet her over there? And then I was thinking, I don't know. I don't know what to do. You know, I was like malfunctioning everywhere. But it was very nice not to have a phone for 4 or 5 days. And I bought the new iPhone 13, but I didn't get the Pro. I just got the iPhone 13. And it's sufficiently brilliant if anyone was interested. This is from Annie. Dear Michael and Davina, hope you're having a lovely Easter break. I want to recommend an Instagram account that I've really enjoyed since I discovered it. It's called Sassy Gran Doris.
Oh my God, I love it already.
What a joy to behold. She is down to earth, funny, and just downright gorgeous. We could all learn a thing or two about our approach to
she
life.
Sounds
from
like
her.
Let's be more like Doris.
It. Yes. Look at her already.
Oh.
I mean,
Sassy Gran Doris. Go and follow her right now. She's 96. And she's got a grandson called Gio. Oh, my God, I love her.
She's from California.
California.
And she's got grey hair and red lipstick. And that is a fantastic combination.
The best.
Oh, you look fantastic, Sassy Grand Doris. Consider yourself followed. Thanks, Annie, very much indeed for that. And let's do the last one. Is Amber Grieve. She sent us a photo of something. It's another like doll's house thing.
Stop it.
I love it.
My miniature life.
Yeah, my miniature life _YT. Hope you guys having a wonderful Easter break together. I saw this and thought it would be right up your street. So fascinating.
Why do we love little things?
Tiny, teeny things. Oh my God, look at that cushion on a sofa.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh wow, look at that.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Okay.
Oh my God!
Oh, mini Easter basket.
Shut
that little game.
No! Oh my God! Ooh. Shut up! The God, miniature cat. Oh my God! My miniature life _YT. You...
Wow! Look at that coffee table. It's really nice. A little marble.
That's like
table.
Our table. It's a Care Bear.
It's a Care Bear. Mini Care Bear. A little bottle of
shampoo.
Dog shampoo.
It should. You should bring out a range of Michael Douglas shampoos for miniature.
Okay.
Look at the meat.
Oh my God, this is really.
My God.
Okay, we're following it.
How many people are
not,
following it?
Not nearly enough, I don't think. Let me have a quick look. Oh my God, yeah.
243,000 people.
243,000, yeah, superb. Thanks so much indeed for that, Amber Grieve. Grieve. That is absolutely brilliant. Wow, yes. Well, it's so nice to be back.
It's nice to be back.
It's Easter Monday, by the way, today, just so you all know. And we are now heading to Wembley Arena.
Yes.
Davina is in The Masked Singer Live.
She's really not, excited about that.
She's not singing. You should have been a contestant on the live show.
I'd be awful.
You can sing. I've heard you sing Beyoncé and all that.
I can only sing backing vocals.
I've heard
you
sing Celine Dion, Mariah Carey, Beyoncé.
Badly.
All the big heavy hitters. Not bad that you're a great singer.
I'd be a great support act.
But I wonder if anyone would guess you. I wonder if anyone's guessed you on the live
show. I would fake my voice.
What would you sing?
I would...
If you like it, and then put a ring on it.
No, I would probably sing something like a pop song.
Yeah, that's like what that was.
Yeah, but...
Go on.
I can't think of anything.
Can you not think of anything?
No. You've caught me. There's so many things that I would like to sing.
Okay.
But I don't know. I've taken that really seriously.
You have, yeah. Have a think about it for next week.
Okay.
I want one song that you could bang out that no one would
Masked
know
singer.
It was you.
Yeah.
That you would be really good at.
Yeah, okay.
And people would go, oh my God, it's Zoe Ball or whatever.
I think I would fake the voice of the person who really sang the song.
Mm. You could do the M People girl. Yeah, because she does that thing.
No.
Have we got to cut this out?
Yes. No, because she was on the show.
She
Stop.
Was on the show, yeah. I wonder if there's anyone else's voice you could... Florence and the Machine, you could do Florence.
Oh, my God, that I'd be amazing at Florence.
What would be great is to do it really badly. You know?
Like... Oh, my God, can I just say yeah. Shreds on YouTube... If you want to laugh, it's very old.
Yeah.
But Shreds doing a Jessie J, Bang Bang, Shreds version.
And the One Direction.
And One Direction, Shreds.
Okay.
Just look up Shreds, One Direction, and Shreds, Jessie J on YouTube. You will cry laughing.
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
Peace and love.
Love
everybody.
You.
We'll see you next week. I hope everybody's a happy
love
Easter.
Love you, everyone.
Yeah. And,
love you.
What she said.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.